ADHD, and lacking empathy. Was I raising a narcissist? What do ADHD, poor empathy, and narcissism have in common? Potentially, more than many people realize. Unfortunately, also more than many in the mental health field realize. When we consider the negative chatter around, quote, drugging children for ADHD, what tends to get lost? The way I see it, compassion for these children, compassion for their families, compassion and concern for their future selves. Hi, I'm Gina Pera, and this is the audio version of a very popular blog post at ADHDRollerCoaster.org, the longest-running website of any kind devoted to adult ADHD since 2007. Yes, I was an early adopter. I link to the post in the podcast notes. By the way, any moment now, I will launch my online training, years in the making, for individuals, couples, and professionals, designed to fill the gaps that we find now in the mental health profession. Join my mailing list at ADHDRollerCoaster.org, and you'll be notified when it's up. Back to the story. Here is the difficult truth. Many children with ADHD suffer cognitive impairments far beyond the classroom. They suffer impairments that distort any reasonable person's idea of a happy childhood. I'm referring to impairments that, in fact, also threaten to negatively shape the course of their entire lives, especially their relationships. These impairments can include deficits in empathy, reciprocity, reflection, and remorse, among others. What's more, in the wrong mental health professional's hands, a child lacking empathy and having a sense of entitlement can invite a dire diagnosis, narcissistic personality disorder, or even psychopath. In fact, there's an article called When Your Child is a Psychopath, an extremely hidebound and punishing look at the phenomenon from The Atlantic website, a once excellent magazine, now apparently gone the way of the clickbait in the search engine optimization race to the bottom. If that child also has ADHD, there's a good chance that the first line medication for ADHD, the neurostimulants, can enhance empathy, along with all the other higher order brain functions. This is not hard to understand, but it is not common knowledge. ADHD treatment can help the child have better access to these brain functions. In this post, my friend Taylor J., host of the You, Me, ADHD Book Club series of posts at ADHD Roller Coaster, shares this story of her eldest child's recent diagnosis and treatment. Taylor had despaired that her daughter would grow up to resemble her own parents. That is, as she explains, narcissistic and lacking empathy. Generally speaking, empathy deficits form the foundation for narcissism. Taylor and her husband, both diagnosed only a few years ago with ADHD, had tried to teach empathy to the girl, but the lessons never took hold, or so they thought. Taylor continues from here. The number one most profound thing I've learned about ADHD is this. It can create trouble connecting cause with effect, and that can create a world of trouble. For example, a student will not see his poor study habits as the reason for his poor grades. Instead, he'll blame a mean teacher. A wife will not see that her cutting, sarcastic words caused her husband to withdraw emotionally. Instead, she'll call him cold. A young man will not see that his reckless driving and speeding caused a car accident. Instead, he'll blame barely there weather conditions. It doesn't take a genius to see that continually failing to connect actions with consequences will wreak havoc on a person's life. Worse, it can kill the potential for relationships. I saw this play out starkly in my 10-year-old daughter. I call her the firecracker. First, let me give you some background. My parents are horribly mentally ill, and they refuse treatment. Instead, they've always blamed everyone else for their troubles and drowned their sorrows in alcohol, drugs, and pity parties. Even when I was in the hospital, sick or with a new baby, my parents could only talk about themselves. I found their utter lack of empathy horrifying. When I married and started a family of my own, I vowed to be different. Yet in raising my firstborn child, the oldest of four girls, I watched helplessly as every lesson about empathy I tried to impart seemed to bounce cleanly off her soul. What do I mean by that? Well, she would exploit others. She would set up games where everyone had to treat her like a queen visiting from another planet, or convince friends to, quote, share their favorite toys and clothes forever. I even caught her in an elaborate kindergarten protection racket at one point, taking her sister's money to keep monsters away. She'd already made $6. She would take, but never give. Her friends would give her presents, invitations, or compliments, yet she never saw any need to return the favor. In fact, she would complain if a compliment missed a detail or if the gift didn't fit her just right. She would even go to a friend's house and critique their clothes or decor for them. You really shouldn't have that dollhouse. It's for babies. You should get a dark Barbie dollhouse. Seriously? Where did you learn this? I was asking the wrong question. As I came to learn much later, hers was not learned behavior. It was innate. My husband and I explained repeatedly that her words hurt other people. I'd ask, how would you feel if Jenny came to your house and said your dollhouse was for babies? The firecracker, looking confused, would reply, but my dollhouse is not for babies, so she would never say that. We would punish her for saying cruel words, and she never understood why she was being punished. We were just being mean parents. The type she might be complaining in the future about to a therapist, who won't have the full picture. There was more. She would explode over the tiniest frustration, itchy seams on her socks, bed covers not being straight, her oatmeal being the slightest bit too watery. Her low frustration tolerance would set her off on an explosive tantrum, and others were always to blame. I remember when she was only 1 year old, screaming at the shape sorter because she couldn't make a block go in the way she wanted it to. We did see sporadic bursts of caring from her. We could just never predict when they would happen. Her first words upon meeting her sister? I'm going to watch out for her and make sure she doesn't run into the street without me. At age 3, she started punching a preschool classmate who came up and shook her baby sister's car seat carrier while I was talking to the teacher. She was afraid he would hurt the baby's soft spot. When I was horribly ill with another pregnancy, she proclaimed to her sister, don't worry, when mom throws up, I'll make you a sandwich. Words, however, rarely met actions. The firecracker screamed at her sister for adjusting her stuffed animal display. My second daughter would dissolve into tears and ask, why doesn't she love me? The firecracker's response? Her sister's sobs were disturbing her reading time. Without the larger context, you might take this as typical sibling rivalry, but it was much more troubling. I had started to wonder if I was raising a narcissist. My husband and I both have ADHD. We both take medication. I know full well the dramatic changes in cognition and behavior the medication provides. But when the firecracker was finally diagnosed with ADHD this past July and began medication treatment, even I was not prepared for the change that followed. I gave her her first dose of Ritalin. 2 hours later, as we were returning from the grocery store, she said, Mom, you can't carry all that. Let me help you. She grabbed 2 grocery store bags and the diaper bag. You need to ask for help when you need it, Mom. Then, when the baby started crying, oh, honey, come here and let me hug you. Don't worry, Mom, I've got her. I know you're making lunch. When I had to change plans that she'd been looking forward to, ah, that stinks, but I know you didn't try to make it hard for me. We could go tomorrow. To be clear, my daughter had not become some creepy, good child automaton. She was still herself, but a better, emotionally regulated version of herself, a more content version of herself. This much was obvious. She was as relieved as we were with the changes. 5 hours later, the medication had worn off. The firecracker came up to me, tears streaming down her face, screaming, "Mom, this is awful. The baby won't stop crying." The baby had cried for 1 minute. "Is this what it felt like all the time when I wasn't on medication?" I took her by the shoulders, looked her in the eye, lowered my voice, and said, "Don't worry. It's going to be okay. Yes, this is what it was like all the time. Take your next dose, then sit here and watch something on TV while I set a timer. When the timer goes off, your next dose will have kicked in." I wiped her tears and turned the TV to something funny. Half an hour went by. When she felt better, she looked up at me and said, "Mom, maybe you should get me a puzzle book to work on when I'm angry. Then I can calm down without yelling at anyone." I watched the rest of the night as she spoke lovingly to her sisters and forgave them when they committed the grave sin of touching her stuff. As she was reading her favorite book before bed, she looked up and said, "Mom, now I understand why Aragorn sighed so deeply when he saw his brother. He was afraid his brother would become a rider too." Even the stories were becoming more clear. Remember, this is just the first day of ADHD treatment. I asked my husband to tuck the girls into bed that night. Then I turned on the shower and broke down into sobs as the water washed over my face. With immense gratitude and relief, I finally realized that my daughter was not a narcissist. She actually did take in the lessons about compassion and empathy that we were teaching her, but she simply couldn't access that when she needed to. My daughter had been suffering from a treatable brain condition, not an incurable evil that was lurking behind her smile. Maybe my parents can be helped to change their narcissistic behaviors too. I can only hope that they'll reach a point where they're willing to try treatment. So the next time you hear someone gasp at the thought of putting a child on drugs for ADHD, please remember my firecracker. Please know that it is beyond the control of many people with ADHD, including children, to make certain cause and effect connections. Please know that since beginning to take medication, my girl is happier and healthier than she has ever been. This is Gina again. I'll soon share another post with you titled ADHD and Empathy, a study, book excerpt, and empathy defined. It tackles the topic from several angles. Empathy sounds simple, but it's really a complex phenomenon. In fact, some people with ADHD have trouble reining in their empathy. Medication often helps them too. As with many ADHD-related challenges, it's all about the self-regulation, not to one extreme or the other, but finding the middle ground. Thanks for listening. You'll find the link to this post in the podcast description notes.